with our first panel for the day. My name is Ian Stockwell. I'm a senior policy analyst with Hilltop Institute, and this session is titled The Availability and Use of Community-Level Data on Determinants of Health. And the reason I'm up here is because I am a data geek, self-professed, and systems and statistics. And as Dr. Benjamin alluded to this morning, it is very important when you're trying to derive policy from data and statistics and outcomes metrics, things of that nature, it's important to not only have good data, but the systems to collect that data and the methods to use that data. So with me today are our two speakers. The first is Abby Kofsky, who is very graciously filling in for Bridget Bosky from the University of Wisconsin, who fell ill and was not able to make it. Abby is a program officer with the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation Public Health Team. She works directly with the foundation's public health grantees to promote the evidence about what works in public health, to advance national accreditation for public health departments, and to advocate for laws and policies that improve public health. A few years ago, the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation partnered with the University of Wisconsin Population Health Institute in order to develop countyhealthrankings.org. For those of you who have not seen this website, please look it up. It's enlightening, to say the least. This collection of county-level rankings for each state not only shows summary statistics for multiple health outcomes and factors, but will be used to implement systems change to increase health status in communities across the nation. Today, Abby will present the work on the county health rankings, as well as the policy changes that these rankings could drive. And Abby will start out. I'm also going to introduce Dan while I'm up here. Dr. Daniel Friedman is an independent consultant working through the Public Health Informatics Institute, an Atlanta-based nonprofit organization that works to improve health outcomes worldwide by transforming health practitioners' ability to apply information effectively. Dan consults for national and state government agencies and foundations. Among others, he has worked with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the Office of the Assistant Secretary of Health, and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. His interests include strategies for improving population health information and web-based communication of population health information for community uses. Together with his colleague, Jim Parrish, he was most recently published on the population health record concepts, definition, design, and implementation in the Journal of the American Medical Informatics Association. Today, Dan will be discussing assessing current realities and achieving the future promise of electronic health records for the U.S. population and public health. So please join me in accepting Abby to come start us off.
And thank you to the staff at Hilltop for putting together such a great event. I was really looking forward to coming and learning and listening to everyone. So you can imagine my excitement yesterday afternoon when I knew I was going to have a new and improved role. And I will tell you, I am a geek on a lot of fronts, not a data geek. So I will be trying to channel Bridget and her self-proclaimed data geekiness as I talk through her slides. In all seriousness, I am spending a lot of time with Bridget these days because the foundation is now partnering with the University of Wisconsin Population Health Institute to think about translating the county health rankings into action, into ways that communities can take the rankings, the data, and really move to strategies and solutions that are going to improve health. So if I give a head nod in that direction about how to make the data actionable, you'll know why. I also, just want to reflect for a minute on the title, a title that I didn't choose, but I really like. And I want to tell you why, because I think it actually picks up really nicely where Dr. Benjamin left off, was this idea of non-traditional data. As we talk about community health needs assessment, it is really thinking about this bigger definition for health. And we know that what gets measured gets done. So if we are only looking at that traditional health data, we are missing a big part of the puzzle. We are missing the many factors that influence health. And that is an undermining driver behind the county health rankings and a real driver behind what we're trying to do in terms of moving communities to action. So we'll start by talking, you know, about this assessing community health. What does that look like? What does it mean? Who's involved? And then really digging into how the county health rankings can serve as a tool to do that. And then getting into the data, other types of data, other sources of data. And again, we'll look specifically at that county health rankings website because, you know, we see that in many ways as a just a one-stop portal for communities to begin to get this other data. So we'll talk through that. They fly in. I had no idea. the key ingredients of a community health assessment, and those of you that are coming from more of a medical patient interaction orientation will recognize these because it's not unlike how we assess a patient that presents. You're looking at that subjective information, the objective information. Yes. Assessment or diagnosis, and then the plan and intervention. So what Bridget has done, and I really like this because I think it helps ground us in what does this mean for community health, what does this mean for population health, is making this comparison. So when I show up at the doctor's office, I expect them to ask me a lot of questions. To start with, how am I feeling? You know, when did the symptoms start? That contextual information that is critical to telling the story of what is wrong with me or helping me understand what's wrong. And likewise, when we think about the community health assessment, it's starting by asking the community, what are your needs? What do you feel about health? What's important to you? What do you see as the barriers to good health? Trying to understand the context, the political environment. And there are a number of ways that this happens, you know, whether it's surveys, focus groups. But it's just, I think, important for us to stop and recognize the importance of asking the community and engaging the community at every step of this assessment process, and that's something that I'll come back to. And this is where we get to the data. The data is critical. The story is part of the picture, but certainly it's not enough. It's not enough when I go to the doctor's office, and it shouldn't be enough when we're talking about what the needs are for the community. And the type of data that is out there ranges from the mortality and morbidity data, birth data, injury data, and then really getting into the socioeconomic data, environmental data, and then thinking about all of the different ways that you're going to look at that data, and I'm sure the data geeks could go on and on here, but we'll see what this looks like when we talk about the county health rankings. Jump back here. So when you look at the subjective, the objective data, the story of what's wrong, you're coming to this understanding of what are the needs, what are the gaps, and what's not on here, but I think is really important is, you know, what are the priorities? And again, that's going to be coming from that conversation with the community, with the stakeholders that know the community best. You know, and getting from that assessment of the needs, what are the gaps, what are the priorities, you know, it has to get to action. And I think this is something that we spend a lot of time reflecting on. You know, it's terrific to have a community health assessment, a beautiful community health assessment, but if it is not translating into action, if it is not a driver for policy change, institutional change, then it's not serving its purpose. And again, the action steps that a community can take range, you know, for us and the work that we're doing now about translating the county health rankings into action, you know, have a real focus on sustainable change within a community. And for us, that means public policy change, institutional policy change, and the list goes on. The question came up during the last session about, you know, who's a part of this? What are the roles? And, you know, as you see here, there are a lot of players when it comes to community health assessment and all have this valuable contribution. And I think what we've seen in looking around the country is that different communities, it looks different. You know, a couple of reflections here. You know, local health department-led assessment is front and center. And as someone coming from a local health department, you know, this is our bread and butter. You know, this is something that is core to what many local health departments see as their mission. I'd also put a footnote on this, is that some of you may or may not be familiar with the new public health accreditation program that will roll out later this year. This is a voluntary national accreditation program that's being led by the Public Health Accreditation Board, a very practitioner-driven process led by CDC and the foundation. And one of the prerequisites for that accreditation process is a community health assessment. So I think that's an important contextual piece here, because we also look at, you know, the hospital-led assessment, and we've already talked about, you know, that requirement for nonprofit hospitals to do that assessment. So there's a convergence here, and I think this is a real opportunity to think about how do we maximize this opportunity and take advantage of all of the resources in a given community. Again, you know, United Ways, Public Health Institute, a whole range of different folks that are taking that lead in that assessment process, and a myriad of different collaboration, you know, models. One thing, and I think my colleague Michelle Larkin, who's speaking at lunch, will touch on, is a new project that the foundation is doing with NACHO to really think about what does an exemplary community health assessment look like? And we see that it's going to look different in different communities, but what are the underpinnings of that successful approach? So let me jump now into the county health rankings. Again, this is a project of University of Wisconsin Population Health Institute and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. For the past 2 years, we have released state reports that rank the health of communities. The county health rankings provide counties with a really, you know, easy to use data related to their health outcomes and the health factors that are critical to determining the health of their community. And for the first time, you know, what the rankings are doing is they're giving states a way to look at their counties and be able to compare health across multiple factors from county to county. And what you see here is this is a snapshot of the county health rankings website. I guess just out of curiosity, are folks familiar with the county health rankings? Maybe by a show of hands? Okay. So good. So most folks are familiar with the rankings. I don't need to go too far in the weeds on this. You know, I think one thing to point out here about what the county health rankings are and what they are not is they are not a community health assessment. They are the jumping off point. The county health rankings are intended to be a call to action, a way to engage multiple stakeholders in a conversation about health, a conversation that says, you know, health is more than what happens in our doctor's office, and what are the factors that are influencing health in our community. And again, you see this in the logic model. You know, it's pulling together that data, it's pulling together the reports, but then it's about engaging the media. It's about engaging community leaders outside of those traditional health and public health spheres to get that broad engagement, to engage the community in a meaningful way to say, you know, what does health in our community look like? How healthy are we? How healthy could we be? And what do we need to do to get there? And again, you know, for us at the foundation and our colleagues at Wisconsin, you know, it is really thinking now about translating that interest and translating those conversations into action. This is, for those of you that are familiar with the rankings or familiar with this visual, you know, on the far side, you see the theory of change here, the idea that by implementing programs and policies, we can address those health factors that influence health and ultimately get us to improved health outcomes. The rest of the model shows, you know, the underpinnings to the rankings and the fact that the rankings are, in fact, two separate measures, one about health outcomes and sort of a look at what is our current health, but also a look at these health factors. What are the factors that are going to influence our health in the future? And again, really, you know, when you look at health behaviors, clinical care, the social and economic factors, and the physical environment, and their contribution to health, what you see is, again, reminding us that our health is happening outside of the doctor's office. It's happening in the places where we live, where we learn, where we work, where we play. You know, and I would pause here and say, you know, when we think about community health assessment, it needs to be thinking about these broad factors. If we're really trying to get to, you know, what shapes our health, these factors are absolutely critical. So this is a kind of a walk through, you know, what's happening on the rankings website. And here we see Maryland. I don't know Maryland that well, but what you have here is all of the counties ranked by quartile, and you see the lightest shaded here are those that are ranked among the best health outcomes, and the darkest with those with the lowest ranks as it relates to health outcomes. So those of you from Maryland, does this look that you've seen this before probably in other slides? Yeah?
Yeah.
So no surprises there. You know, what I'll show you here is a kind of a look behind the rankings, behind the map, to see, you know, how is the data organized? And again, for the data geeks in the crowd, I'm sure this is probably the most exciting part. So for every county, you know, what you're going to find is for those health outcomes, which is what you see here, the drill down on mortality, morbidity, you know, for the county, how does this relate to a national benchmark? How does this relate to the rest of the state? And again, you see the rank over on the far side. And this is the drill down that we have for all of the health factors. Now, here you see for health behavior, the measures that are used to drive that ranking is based on adult smoking, obesity, excessive drinking, motor vehicle crash data, sexually transmitted infections, teen birth rates. Again, with that same breakdown for the county, for the state, and the comparison to a national benchmark. For clinical care, again, it's looking at both access, quality of care measures, and the social and economic factors. Again, thinking about graduation rates, college, children in poverty, social support, violent crime rate. And lastly, the last factor that is included there is the physical environment. And again, the measures that are driving that factor in the ranking there. You know, one of the things to point out is that, you know, our colleagues at Wisconsin have done a really great job of making all of this data readily accessible. So, you know, at any point you can click on the data and you can really get into, you know, what is the data source here. And what you're also going to find in addition to the data behind the rankings is additional measures. And here you see some additional demographic information. Again, it's not calculated in the ranking, but in order to, you know, to make this user-friendly, all of that information is accessible there as well. So let me talk a little bit more. I made the point earlier that the county health rankings themselves are not a community health assessment. It is a jumping off point. You know, and what does that mean? Where do you jump to? A lot of our colleagues that are working in local health departments around the country are very familiar with MAP, which is Mobilizing for Action Through Planning and Partnerships, which is, again, that a strategic approach to taking the data and going through that community health assessment process, the planning, the community dialogues, the visioning, and again, that real focus on collaboration and partnership. You know, when you look at the assessment categories in a tool like MAP, you know, what you see is there's a lot of opportunity here to use that rankings data to begin this process. And that, I think, is the take-home message here. And I think what I want to do, you know, just in wrapping up, is spend, you know, a little bit of time on this slide because I think it's really important. You know, this take action visual is prominent on the County Health Rankings website because it's what underpins taking us from the data to action. It's recognizing, you know, in the center that there are multiple stakeholders, that, you know, to do this, it's going to take more than just public health, more than just healthcare, but engaging our business leaders, engaging government officials, funders, school districts, and a whole range of partners with the community to go through this process of assessing the needs and resources, which we talked about earlier, picking those priorities, finding those programs, policies, that are going to address those needs, implementing those strategies, and then evaluating that effort. And this is really, you know, getting back to that assessment of needs. We see the rankings as a starting point, and what you'll find on the County Health Rankings website is what we have called a data drill down. And what this allows communities to do is to really, there's our data drill down, really understand what do these rankings mean to us. You know, walking through a county, walking a community through, you know, this is your data. What are the other questions that you should be asking? Who are the people that should be at the table? If you're a large county, do you need to be thinking about drilling down to look at the data by neighborhood, by zip code? Should you be looking at it by age, by race, ethnicity, by zip code? You know, so it's really saying, again, this is your starting point. This is how we can help you get to the next point. There are also, in addition to having all of the state-specific data, access on the website to a number of national data resources. Again, lots of fun for all of the data geeks out there. But being mindful of time, I'm just going to, you know, kind of blow through these. They are all on the website, and again, would encourage you to spend some time playing around. You know, the one other thing that I want to point out is that in some cases, states are going to have data that is more relevant or more local, and it's about pulling all of this together. And to that end, the rankings website, when you look at your state-specific ranking and data, you're also going to be able to link to state-specific data sources. And so here we see the searchable health-related survey database from the Department of Health and Mental Hygiene. There is also the MASH, the Maryland Assessment Tool for Community Health. So again, it's helping communities and counties make that data relevant to them. So, you know, here are the key points. The county health rankings, they're a good starting point. You know, not only from a data perspective, but from a framework. You know, thinking about this framework of, you know, our health is more than what happens in the doctor's office, and it is really thinking about those broad social, economic, and environmental factors that are influencing our health. There are other sources of quantitative data that are available. And again, this is Bridget, I can hear her saying these things. There are limitations in terms of what data is available, specifically at a statewide level and certainly more so at the local level, making that real-time assessment more difficult. The ability to obtain current data is often challenging. And I think, you know, again, to come back to one of my initial points, it's really, you know, the importance of gathering that qualitative data from the community to get that bigger picture and to really understand the needs, the barriers, and the opportunities within that community. So this is an acknowledgement of all of the folks, both at Wisconsin, the foundation that have been working on this, and recognizing that this is a bigger effort, something bigger that is just these two organizations, but numbers of national and federal partners that have made this such a success. And with that, I will wrap up. Here's Bridget's email if you want to let her know what I messed up, what questions I left. I'm sure she would be delighted to have a full report. And again, I thank you for your attention, and I'll turn it back over.